I'm going to cautiously share these next few words, knowing that we're coming upon the noon hunger hour. The top comfort foods in Philadelphia region are debated, but in the city of brotherly love, it is said that the Philadelphia cheesesteak brings a lot of comfort to people. Others take comfort in the Philadelphia soft pretzels. In the springtime, it's not that far away, March, will bring on our favorite types of water ice, as we say in Philadelphia, water ice. But there are so many other local comfort foods that are comforting to you. I know my wife takes great comfort in chocolate. I take great comfort in ice cream. If you go to the South, they may say grits or macaroni and cheese. There's all kinds of comfort foods that people take comfort in, don't they? If you go throughout the world, there's all kinds of various things that people take great comfort in these comfort foods. And there's nothing sinful and wrong in eating these various comfort foods. You guys are all start thinking of various comfort foods now, so don't get too distracted when I get back into the Word. But it does say a lot about what people in general are striving for in life. People want what brings them comfort. And so we will be looking in our series in the book of 2 Corinthians and the church. We're starting this new series in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll see how people have had a need for comfort and what this church was doing, what they were looking for, and what God's word tells us that we need to be looking for. I'd ask you to open up your Bibles, one of the church Bibles, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is found on page 1155. And if you are able, I would ask you, please stand with me as we honor Christ and his word. Please stand if you're able again and follow along as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. This is God's holy, infallible, life-giving, and life-transforming word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort that with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is in abundance through Jesus Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers in our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. May the Lord bless the reading, hearing, and obeying of his holy word. Would you please pray with me? Father God in heaven, we thank you, we praise you for this new year, this new series going through the book of 2 Corinthians, this letter from the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. And we pray, Lord, that we be reminded that this letter is for us as a church as well, that we would learn to apply what is in it, that you, Lord God, would open up our eyes this morning, that your Spirit would help us to understand your word and be obedient, and that you would be given glory, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So hopefully you haven't wandered too far thinking about various comfort foods. Your real comfort is in the Word of God, the comfort of the Word of God. But as we begin this series in the book of 2 Corinthians, we will see in God's Word that people need to be comforted. People need to be comforted. And the reason that people need to be comforted is that people suffer from all kinds of various afflictions. People are suffering from all kinds of various afflictions. There are all kinds of afflictions that people suffer from. There, one commentator shares several categories. These are not going to include everything, but he first mentions is the emotional affliction that people suffer from. One of the most obvious needs for comfort is those suffering the affliction of the grieving over the loss of a loved one. There's also mourning over a miscarriage or infertility. There's having a broken heart over a child who is wandering away from the Lord. There's also psychological affliction, having anxiety or depression or discouragement, perhaps mental illness, memory loss, learning disabilities, unexplained fears and worries. And there are, of course, physical afflictions. So many of you shared your physical afflictions, having severe backaches, chronic pain, knee troubles, migraines, hip pain, shoulder pain, shingles, multiple sclerosis, AIDS, paralysis, cancer, and more. And then there is also relational affliction. When your name perhaps is slandered, when you are envied or provoked, when there's injustice towards you in your job or in your school, when there's cruelty toward you by someone who is supposed to love you, when there are hurt feelings and you're dealing with your children or when you're trying to deal with your parents. There are circumstantial afflictions as well, such as car accidents and injuries and destruction of your home, losing your job, losing insurance, losing retirement funds, having your kids move away and being empty nesters. And there's also spiritual affliction, which all of this is spiritual, right? All this can be categorized as spiritual. It's afflictions of temptations and doubt and discouragement, feelings of regret, perhaps addictions that would fall under another category. But we all have various afflictions, and some have more afflictions than others, right? But the reason that we all suffer from these afflictions is because of the fact that we are living in a sinful and fallen world. Not every affliction that we have is a direct consequence of our own personal sin. Sometimes they are. If you have an affliction of a poor liver, it could be of abuse of alcohol. But many times afflictions happen because you have a sore shoulder or whatever it is. These afflictions happen because they are a result of living in a sinful and fallen world. And it's hard. And we are born with the need to be alleviated from these afflictions. And because we all suffer from these things, people seek comfort, don't they? We seek comfort to alleviate our suffering and affliction. People suffer comfort from these things. And there's nothing wrong in and out of itself to seek comfort, right? Young one hit her head. She wanted to seek comfort from her mom. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem comes when we are seeking the wrong things to help us in our sinful things going on in our lives. Many will seek comfort by trying to numb those physical or psychological or emotional pain with some type of substance abuse, with alcohol or medication, whatever it is. Many seek it with alcohol, drugs, overeating, or excessive screen time, or overworking, or underworking, being lazy, trying to run away from your afflictions. These are other ways that people do these things. These are things that people do, and these are things that people in the Church of Corinth were dealing with, except for that excessive screen time. They didn't have that back then. But those in the church, in the Church of Corinth, it was actually an affluent church. Yet they were still dealing with various things, and they looked to the world around them to bring them comfort and the things in the world in that city. Remember that the church of Corinth was this affluent city. It was full of all kinds of sin and sinful ways. And if you remember from our series in 1 Corinthians, the city had a very bad reputation. In fact, some say that city was synonymous with sinful behavior. To Corinthianize meant to engage in sexual immorality or promiscuity or general debauchery and drunkenness. Can you imagine if that was... I'm so thankful we live in the city of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, right? It may not really reflect its name, but at least we're not known as Corinthianized, right? The church of Corinth was being negatively influenced by the sinful ways of the city. The reality is that when you seek after worldly comfort in these ways, you may or may not get some kind of temporary relief, right? Some people will seek drugs or alcohol, and it may bring them some type of temporary relief, but it is not the true kind of comfort that we need. The Heidelberg Catechism is a wonderful thing. If you haven't read it, I'd encourage you to do so. It's question and answers. It goes for 52 weeks. But the first question says, what is your only comfort in life and in death? It's speaking to the Christian, the believer. What is your only true comfort in life and death? And this is something that the Apostle Paul tried to explain to those in the church of Corinth. And it needs to be explained to the church today as well. The Apostle Paul shows us what our only true comfort is. He declares that God alone is the one who provides true comfort. God alone is the one who provides true and lasting comfort. The Apostle Paul begins writing his letter, as we see in verse 1, to the church of God, which is in Corinth, with all of the saints who were throughout Achaia. And although we call this book 2 Corinthians, evidence reveals that this is likely Paul's fourth letter to the church of Corinth. He said, well, where are the other two? Well, the other two were not intended to be part of God's word to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, he writes, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. So that was another letter. This letter was not intended to be part of Scripture, but was nonetheless a letter from the Apostle Paul sent at his first letter to the church of Corinth. And then 1 Corinthians was his second letter. And then there was another letter, which you can read about further in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, where he says, this is the very thing I wrote you so that when I came, I would not have sorrow. And then further down he writes, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears. And so that is what we call 2 Corinthians. That's the third letter. And now what we have here in 2 Corinthians is actually his fourth letter. Doesn't matter a whole lot, except you understand that there was a lot of conversation go back. Actually, the church itself wrote Paul a letter asking for help. And these two letters that we have are what God needs for us to have to help us. And Paul is the one who started this church in Corinth by planting it in the city of Corinth. And after he left, he continued to pastor and shepherd and teach this church because this church was near and dear to his heart. And he reminds them of their need, that they have a need to be comforted by their afflictions, from their afflictions. And he has already told them what not to seek comfort from the city, right? From the worldly ways of the city of Corinth. They're going to offer you all kinds of way to deal with your troubles. And Paul continues to show them that God alone is the one who provides that true comfort. He describes the one true God as being the Father of mercies. In our scriptures here, it says, God is the Father of mercies. Paul explains to us that God alone is able to provide true comfort because of one of his attributes, that he is full of mercy. He is a merciful God. In Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and steadfast love." He wants them to be reminded of that. He wants us to be reminded that we have a merciful God. One person defines God's mercy as a gift of his undeserved kindness and compassion. Mercy is revealed in the actions of God that he takes to relieve the affliction and suffering, to demonstrate his faithfulness and his steadfast love. We do not deserve God's mercy because of our sin, and yet God extends this undeserved mercy to those who will put their faith and trust in Christ alone. In Lamentations chapter 3, we hold on to this promise, which says that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It's a song we sing sometimes. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to end. They are new every morning. Every morning you wake up, you can look to the Lord knowing that he is extending his new mercies to you. And to that we can say, great is his faithfulness. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loves us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins, he made us alive together in Christ." The word for mercy can also be translated compassion. Our God is full of mercy and full of compassion towards us. We see this compassion, this mercy of God fully expressed in Jesus in his life. If you go to the Gospels, we can see over and over again where he looked upon the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were what? They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They were dealing with afflictions and troubles. And Jesus showed his compassion in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. When he saw a great crowd, it says that he had compassion upon them and he healed their sick. Jesus cares about our afflictions. He cares about every one of your afflictions. And he's full of compassion and has mercy towards his people. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, verse 32, Jesus said, "I have compassion on this crowd because they have been what? With me for 3 days and they have had nothing to eat. If I miss a meal, I'm hungry." I can't imagine 3 days. But the disciples were like, "Send them away. They'll get their own food." No, Jesus said, "No, we need to take care of them. Where are we going to have food? Don't worry about that. We're going to get the food." And Jesus provides food. The Gospel of Luke chapter 7, Jesus saw a widow who just had her son die. And he said that he had compassion on her and told her not to weep. Jesus has compassion upon all our afflictions, but his compassion was much more than for our temporary afflictions in life. Jesus had compassion for those who were suffering from the affliction of their sins. In his compassion, he extends mercy and forgiveness by doing what? By going to the cross and paying the penalty that we deserve. It is in his mercy and compassion that he died on the cross, providing us that true comfort that we need. We see the Apostle Paul reminding the church that God is not only the Father of mercies and compassion, but he is the God of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. He alone is where we can find true and lasting comfort. The word for comfort that the Apostle Paul is using means to come alongside and to provide true and lasting comfort. This is easily seen with a parent, with their child, right? Coming alongside when their child is suffering. I mentioned earlier that people tend to seek comfort in temporary and worldly ways. Jesus however, declared woes on those who refused to take comfort in God. He says in Luke chapter 6, verse 24, "Woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full." If you're looking for riches, temporary riches, they may bring you temporary comfort, but they're not going to bring you true and lasting comfort. Jesus continues and says, "Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will be hungry." If you're looking for food to bring you comfort, ultimately, you will ultimately be hungry. "Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep." Jesus is saying that if you put your trust in the things of this world to bring you comfort, then you are rejecting Christ alone, who brings you true and lasting comfort found from God the Father. God's comfort through Christ alone offers us forgiveness for all our sins and afflictions. God's comfort is all that you need in life, for life and godliness. God provides his comfort by giving you new life in Christ. God provides his comfort by providing you his comforter. Your comforter is the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, "But the comforter," other translations say helper or advocate, that's as good as well, "but this comforter, the Holy Spirit, with whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." We are needing the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, to remind us of the fact of who God is, of who Christ is, and what he has done for us. Paul is reminding the church that God provides his true and lasting comfort that brings us grace and peace. If you look back at the very beginning of this passage, Paul always has this introduction, and it's not just a cursory introduction. It is something that has deep meaning. It's full of meaning. God's true and lasting comfort brings us his peace. He says, "Grace and peace." Paul is reminding them, "Grace and peace be upon you." God's true and lasting comfort comes from his grace. And grace is the flip side of mercy, isn't it? We have mercy and we have grace. They're not the same, but they're both from God and they're both necessary. God's mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. It's not giving us what we do deserve. So God's mercy is not sending us to hell for our sins, right? That's what we deserve. We all deserve to have eternal death and separation from God in a very real place in hell because of our sin, where we will never receive any comfort. But it says that his comfort is found in his grace, which is his giving us something that we do not deserve. He is giving us what? He is giving us forgiveness and the righteousness of Christ. God is giving us that which we do not deserve. God comforts us with the forgiveness of our sins through Christ alone. By his grace, he gives us eternal life. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read this often from the pulpit. It's a wonderful verse reminding us, "For it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and it is not from ourselves. It is the free gift of God. It's not the result of our work, so that no one can boast." That is grace. This is the grace that God comforts us with. And Paul reminds us of the peace which he provides as well. Because of the affliction of our sin, we are born natural enemies of God. Jesus alone is able to restore us to a right relationship with God the Father. Jesus brings us eternal comfort with a lasting reconciliation with our God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Without true faith in Christ alone, we will suffer afflictions of our sin and their consequences. And so the passage really begs the question, how do we receive God's comfort? How do we receive God's comfort of his grace, his mercy, his peace, and forgiveness. One can only receive that by seeking and trusting in the God of all comfort. We can only do so by seeking and trusting in the God of all comfort. This means that we need to first repent of our sins and stop seeking comfort in the simple ways of our world. We need to confess our sins, to acknowledge and repent of our sins. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." So many people look at that passage and thinking he's talking about death, and it's talking about mourning over our sins. When we mourn over our sins, that is when Jesus says you will be comforted. Jesus is saying that those who mourn over their sins, those who hate and forsake their sin and put their trust in Christ, they will then be comforted. And know that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins by his mercy and compassion. And we can hold on to the promise that says that he will cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. And so we need to repent and we need to stop seeking the comfort in false gods and idols and all kinds of things. In the midst of suffering and affliction from sin, the effects of sin, we need to trust in our sovereign God that he knows your afflictions. He knows how to comfort you. We can trust in the Lord because Jesus himself came and he suffered the most, didn't he? He suffered by being rejected by his family and his people. He suffered by being betrayed by a friend. He suffered by being unjustly arrested and falsely convicted, condemned, and crucified. He was suffered by being whipped and beaten and scourged and then crucified to death on a cross. And although his physical suffering was extremely horrible, we need to know that his spiritual suffering for his people was so, so much worse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous." Jesus being the righteous, we being the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit. Christ being holy and righteous and without sin, he suffered the spiritual sufferings that we deserve. In our Apostles' Creed, we say that Jesus descended into hell for us. Reformed theologians agree with John Calvin, who said that Jesus and his descent into hell was not merely descending into a physical death and the grave. He believes it represents the biblical teaching that Jesus suffered not just bodily pain, but all of the torments that a soul would have in hell for us, cut off from the presence of God that he experienced. The Heidelberg Catechism, number 44, states that Christ's anguish on the cross and his pain on the cross, dying for us, delivered believers from the anguish and afflictions and the torment of hell for us. He did that for us. In order to receive God's eternal comfort and relief from our sin and its eternal consequence in hell, is that we would put our faith and trust in Christ alone. God's promise for those who believe and trust in him is to be that we will be with him one day. And that his promise in Revelation chapter 21 is true for you as a believer. If you're putting your trust in Christ, that one day he will wipe every tear from your eyes. There will be no more affliction of death or mourning or crying, or pain. All of your afflictions will be gone. God will one day bring about complete and perfect comfort from all the results of the affliction of sin in this fallen world. But as the Apostle Paul states in verse 5, in the meantime, we will be sharing in his sufferings. We will go through periods of affliction because of being united with Christ. As we are united with Christ by faith, we are sharing in his sufferings. This will mean that God will allow us to suffer various afflictions so that you may share in his abundant comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul writes, "For our light and momentary afflictions." How many of you think going through your afflictions are light and momentary? They don't feel light, do they? And they don't feel momentary, especially if you've been suffering for a long time. But Paul is saying, in comparison, "For our light and momentary afflictions are preparing us for an eternal weight of glory and beyond comparison." You may be suffering from various kinds of affliction that are causing you physical or emotional pain. But Paul is telling the church that these things are nothing in comparison to the suffering that Christ suffered for you. And the eternal comfort and blessings, those abundant comfort and blessings that you have by faith in Christ, are beyond comparison. Paul is telling the church and is telling us that in the midst of our afflictions, we need to be putting our faith and trust in Jesus and his abundant comfort that is found in him alone. And in the meantime, Paul tells the church what they are to do with this comfort. What are we to do with the comfort of Christ? We are to follow Paul's example by giving thanks and bless God for his comfort. That needs to be on our lips every day. We need to thank and bless God for his comfort in Christ. We need to thank and bless the Lord for his mercy and his compassion. His comfort is forgiveness that is found in Christ alone. And as the Apostle Paul states in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." That's why he says these things over and over again. And as we put our faith and trust in Christ alone, we are to trust that God is sovereign and that he is in control in the midst of your afflictions. We are to give thanks and trust in his perfect provision of grace in our time of need. Paul himself suffered some type of affliction. We don't know what it is, but he asked the Lord multiple times to take that affliction away. If you have suffered affliction, maybe you've done the same. And Jesus replied to Paul saying, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Just the other day, I helped to officiate a memorial service for Lori Fowler. You've heard me talk about her. Some of you know her, some of you do not. She was a member here many years ago who had suffered from multiple sclerosis. And during her life, she was a testimony. In the midst of her affliction, she shared with others what Jesus had done for her in offering her this amazing comfort, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Well, she is no longer suffering from her MS or any other affliction that she had because she's in the presence of Jesus. The Apostle Paul reminds the church that since we have received this eternal and lasting comfort from Christ alone, that we are to share this comfort with others. We are to share this comfort with others. Elder Alan Ellis is one who shared of the comfort of the gospel of Jesus Christ with Lori Fowler. He was a neighbor and he was doing some work for her. And she, by God's grace, put her faith and trust in Christ alone. And then Lori took that good news and she shared that good news of God's comfort and grace with her family, with her caretakers, and many of them putting their faith and trust in the Lord as well. This is God's plan for his people and his church. We have been given the free gift of God's comfort and grace found in Christ alone in order that we would share it with others. And so I would encourage you, if you're not already doing so, to take time this year and to regularly be praying for those you know who need to hear of this wonderful goodness and grace found in Jesus Christ alone. Be praying for them, giving them to the Lord, and then asking for the Lord to provide you with opportunities to share that good news of God's comforting grace with others. And in the midst of your suffering and affliction, know that the Lord is with you, that he will provide you with his abundant comfort in Christ alone. Know that he is with you no matter what your suffering is, no matter what your troubles are. Know that you can go to the Lord and trust in him. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for this time in your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, who went through suffering himself, who pointed to the sufferings of Christ and what he has done for us in his perfect life, his suffering of his death for us, his conquering sin and death for us, so that he might comfort us, offering eternal comfort. Help us, Lord, not to trust in the comfort of this world, but to trust in you, Lord God, in Christ alone. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.